Well, yesterday we're in this section concerning God's will, dealing with hindrances and obstacles. Mm-hmm. Basically, what gets in the way of our doing God's will? Well, most time it's just us. You know, we talked about the world, flesh, and the devil, the big pictures, but we've been breaking it down a little bit, and we've talked about how wrong doctrines mm-hmm. can cause you to not understand what God's will really is. We talked about how generational issues, our patterns, mm-hmm. Things we've learned and things that were passed on to us can kind of be a barrier to us knowing and doing God's will. And then doubt and unbelief yesterday. Today we're going to talk about fear, and then hopefully we'll get two of them in today, and that'll finish this little section on how I can know God's will. So, but fear's a biggie, isn't it?
Let me say hi real quick to Olive. Olive is watching with Lori. Hey, Olive.
Hey, Olive. We love you, sweetie. You are precious.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Good to hear from you guys. Hey, Amber. Good to have you on. Now we can jump in.
Okay. Fear can often keep us from doing God's will. Mm-hmm. And Paul told Timothy, and I don't know if young Timothy's gotten a bad rap or whatever, but because Paul told him, you know, he encouraged him, charged him, you know, like step mm-hmm. up. And he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And out of that, a lot of people concluded that Timothy must have been bashful, or he must have been resistant of doing what he needed to do. And like Paul was calling him up. I think Paul's just strongly encouraged him. All of us get in a place sometimes when we have difficulty facing what we have to face and doing what we have to do. Some, as we've talked about, God's will is not always easy. Sometimes it requires great sacrifice mm-hmm. to do what God's calling you to do. And so I don't know the true sketch on Timothy, but I do know the one on Eddie, and that's about, you know, we can all deal with fear. And I'm going to phrase it this way, because this may be easier for us to get a hold of. Fearful thinking can land us in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. So we might use some other words like anxious thinking or doubt-filled thinking. I mean, mm-hmm. it could be some different variations.
Because that goes along with Philippians 4:6-8 mm-hmm. about don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, mm-hmm. will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes right into, and think on these things, mm-hmm. you know, and he gives a list of things to think on. And so he begins with, you know, don't be anxious. Here's what you can do to combat that. And then he ends it up by saying, you know, it's important that you think the right things to stay out of that place of anxiety. And of course, 1 John 4 tells us that perfect love casts out fear, that fear causes torment. We can literally torment ourselves with fearful thinking and getting under it.
So I like what you said that, because sometimes it's not even, let's say oftentimes, it's not even the enemy who's tormenting us. It's it's our own thoughts that are tormenting
us. Our thinking.
But now, the enemy can't.
There are spirits of fear,
obviously.
But fearful thinking, I believe fearful mm-hmm. thinking can open up the door to where eventually we can come under a spirit's influence. You know, everything, just I think people can get polarized in fear, depressed, never stepping out into anything because they're so afraid of everything. But we have to be careful that we call anything that has a little smell of fear on it as a spirit of fear, because as you've mentioned, sometimes it's just our own thinking that's mm-hmm. filled with fear. And not everything that people call fear is necessarily fear either. You know, sometimes people think that just being wise about things is being fearful. Well, I've seen some of that during this pandemic where people have been accused of being fearful because they chose to wear a mask mm-hmm. or they didn't want to go where a large group was. You know, number one, we're trying to be wise concerning what our authorities tell us. And number mm-hmm. two, If people who are medical experts says this helps, then I mean, you need to at least think about it. But the scriptures does leave a place for us to walk in wisdom, to avoid needless pain.
Yes.
I know Paul, when he was saved, I mean, he was set on fire. He lost his vision for a few days and then filled with the Holy Spirit and came alive to Christ. But then they started looking for him to arrest him. And they let him down in a basket over the city wall so that he could escape. I think some people just say today, well, bless God, he should have been bold. He was just had a spirit of fear on him. Where I think the collective mind understood that the Holy Spirit's counsel would be to avoid this, you know, to let him down in the basket. You know, he's newly saved. God's got his hand on him, got a great future for him. And so there's sometimes people are presumptuous under the guise of not being fearful. I think there's this biblical instances where we can see there's a place for being wise. But back to the point. You can get under fear, and fear can shut down your faith, because we're told, you know, Paul told Timothy, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Perfect love cast out the fear. Sometimes it's like I've on mission trips, I've gone into places like these refugee type camps and those kind of things. I've been in services where there's all kind of sickness and disease. People have scabs all over their body, running a raging fever and these kind of things. But in the context, they've been brought there to receive ministry for prayer. And so you pray and you're like, well, I'm afraid I might get something. No, you press in and you pray. But if I'm standing 2 foot out in the road because I'm not paying attention and I hear a truck coming and I turn and I see that I'm in the road and he is too, I'm probably going to step out of the road instead of just saying, bless God, I'm not afraid, and stand there and risk, you know. As I say sometimes, the Lord gave a rabbit enough sense to get in a hole in a big storm, you know. So, but fearful thinking is the thinking that where we're ensnared, we can't step out and do God's will. We're afraid I might miss it, or God can't use me, or this that kind of thought process is going to shut you down from doing God's will.
Yeah, I think those are two good examples of fearful thinking, how it hinders us from knowing the will of God sometimes. You know, here are these options. I think God's leading me to this, but what if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What if I go the wrong way?
Instead of what if I'm right?
Yeah, and trusting the Lord that he can guide us. If we step the wrong way, but our heart is to follow him, that he can help us readjust and find the right way, is because that's part of the walk, you know.
Yes.
is understanding we walk by faith, not by sight. If we take a step in the wrong direction, the Lord will let us know that, and we can adjust.
Yes.
I'm not talking about necessarily sin. I'm not talking about sinful steps. I'm talking about just in trying to discern, does the Lord want me to do this? Or is he, you know, maybe is he leading me to teach this class? Or is he, you know, leading me to this small group? Or it could be a million things, but he will guide us.
Yes, our fear of missing it is stronger than our risk of hitting it. And as it's been said, faith is often spelled R-I-S-K. There is an element of risk. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you believe this is what the Lord is saying, and you take this step. And often, without taking that step, you're not going to know, and you're not going to see, and you're not going to experience the benefit of that breakthrough. Mm-hmm. You see that all through the scripture too.
Yeah.
Young David that went out in front of Goliath, he had the spirit of God on him that gave him boldness and courage. And he didn't fight that. He stepped into it. But he also learned when he became king, and with all of his victories, he learned the hard way sometimes, before I just rush out knowing, bless God, I'm going to win because I'm a man of God, he would inquire of the Lord. And sometimes the Lord would say, yes, go down to battle. You see this through the Old Testament with different people. And sometimes said, you know, that they'd give direction, no. So part of discerning between fear and being fearful or courageous is making sure you're properly discerning what God's will is. But once you know what God's will is, then don't allow fear to hold you back.
Yeah, Joyce Myers, I like what she says, do it afraid. And sometimes that's what we have to do. When it's a real step of faith, often we do have to do it afraid, move past our own thinking, our intellect, and step into where we believe God's leading us. And sometimes when the presence of God is so strong, it doesn't require as much faith. You can just, you feel the boldness of the Holy Spirit just to step into something.
Yes, and you have one of those Urkel moments. Did I do that? No, that was the Lord. But we're also wrong to assume that fear is always sinful. Because sometimes you are naturally afraid, but you're doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like you said, do it afraid. We have examples of that in Paul's writings where he said, he was among you, you know, like he saw the demonstration of the Spirit of power. I was among you with much fear and trembling. There is a combination there. Yes, in the natural man, afraid, trembling, but the Spirit man, the miracles were flowing. God was moving. The power was there. So, I think most pastors understand that because there's a natural, sometimes fearfulness anytime you're getting up to preach God's word, but you step into that. Lord, I know this is what you've called me to do. I feel like it's what you've given me to say, and you step in and you do it. And so don't always associate sin with every context of fear. There's natural fear. And again, that's where common sense comes in. Like that's a red hot stove over there. Okay, I'm going to show I'm a man of God. I'm going to put my hand on it. And it's probably going to, you know. But if in the flow of the Spirit, you're led to do something, God will be with you. There's, again, the enemy tried to pull that one on Jesus. Why don't you jump off the pinnacle of that temple? Prove who you are. And he could have said, you know, if you're really God's son, you wouldn't be afraid to do that. But thou will not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing.
Lots of wisdom principles there.
Yes.
It's not always black and white. There can be some areas where it has to be following the Lord, following the Holy Spirit. It's not it's that in that moment, what does God want?
Well, God's path for us differed. God's holiness never changes. God's idea of what sin is never changes, but his path for us is different. If he's leading you a certain path to do a certain thing to be in his will, and I just do that because you're doing it, that may not necessarily be God's will for me, you know, because his will for me may be to call me on this mission trip so and so, and it may not be that for you, you know. So we have to be discerning, have to be led by the Holy Spirit. There are some things that are clearly sin for everybody. There are some things that are clearly right for everybody. Then there's a whole lot of things that's contingent upon what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do in different situations. Paul gets into that about the issue of eating meat. And, it can get a little complicated, but I think God wants it this way where we have to rely upon being able to be led by his Spirit. Mm-hmm. Again, there's clearly revealed things in Scripture, and then there's areas where the Holy Spirit leads us regarding timing, who, when, what, where, those kind of situations. We see that in Paul on his missionary trips, being led by the Holy Spirit, even though he was under the mandate
to go.
You know, he still allowed the Holy Spirit to tell him where.
Times the door was closed,
yes.
And times it was open or redirected.
Yes, so I guess what I am saying to all of us is don't become enslaved to a formula or a list. We're called to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do what the Bible tells you clearly not to do. And he is going to lead you to do in alignment with what the Scripture reveals that we're to do. But in there's a whole lot of differentiation between what we are led to do. And each servant answers to his own master. We're called to do different things. Sometimes we have the mistake to think, well, if you're really serving God, you'll be called into some kind of full-time ministry. God calls people to be school teachers and doctors and truck drivers and and
mothers,
market workers, mm-hmm. And yes, and stay home moms, and all this. And it's God's will for those people in that context, you know. So we don't need to try to always strap people on the gurney we're pushing around, you know.
So fear is a hindrance to knowing the will of God. And the antidote to fear is walking with God, being full of faith, taking the risk that faith
takes. Fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, if you're going to be afraid, just have fear of the Lord.
That's right.
And I think it was, I can't remember if it was Smith Wigglesworth that says this. Someone along that lines. He says, you find a man who fears men, he'll fear everything else. You find a man that fears only God, he'll fear nothing else. And I think there's a good bit of truth to that.
Yeah, I think that was at Missionary, wasn't it? That said that.
Somebody. I'm just not taking credit for that. Somebody else originated
it. It's true.
Yes.
Anyway, well, we're glad you were here with us today, and we'll be back Tuesday through Friday next week, and we'll be at Grace House Sunday morning, outdoors at 9 o'clock, inside at 10:30, also streaming online at 10:30. So if you're in the area and you can join us, please do, if you're not, going somewhere else. And we hope you have a blessed weekend.
And listen, child of God, God's plans for you are good and not evil, to give you a future filled with hope, plans to prosper you. So you be blessed and prospered. We love you all.